Let the church say amen. Well, they are a tough act to follow, aren't they? Bless the Lord. I tell you, I'm just so proud of them. I mean, words can't even begin to describe how proud I am of the Christian Sojourners. And you know what, saints? I'm convinced that God is pleased with all of us understanding the concept that we are just pilgrims passing through, that this earth is not our home. Amen? Amen. We're just passing through, and we have certainly come to realize that we were originally intended to be here to stay, but because sin entered into the garden, we can no longer stay here forever. God's got some changes to make, amen? And we realize and we're thankful to his grace and his mercy that the changes that he needs to make is beginning within all of us. And that's one of the reasons why we come to God's house every week, is because we want to grow, because we want to learn to be more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we thank God for the Christian Sojourners. We thank God for WISE. Amen. Amen. We thank God for WISE. We thank God for the vision that he's given WISE and all the years that they've been here at the campgrounds and doing the marvelous, wonderful things that they've been doing. And I tell you, time goes by pretty fast, doesn't it, Brother Kevin? I remember when I first started preaching and coming down here to WISE back in 2001, and now it's 2013. Amen. And you don't look like you've gotten a day older. Amen. Sister Becky, you've been good to him. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Three reasons why I'm so excited about being here today. First of all, is God is in control. Amen. He's in control. And the second reason why I'm excited is because there's a word coming from the Lord. Amen. There's a word coming from the Lord. He's about to speak to all of our hearts. And thirdly, I'm excited because we got a full house here in God's house. Amen. Let's give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Bless the Lord. Lest we keep you too long, I know it's Mother's Day, and I know everybody's got marvelous plans and going to go out to eat. Some of you are going to cook out, spend quality time with your family, you mothers, you lovely mothers, with your children and grandchildren, and some of you great, 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 great grandchildren. Amen. Hallelujah. So we want to get you out so you can go do that. Bless the Lord. Let's call your attention to the gospel according to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, when you get there, we're going to park out beginning at verse 24 just for a little while. Mark chapter 7, beginning at the 24th verse. If you all have found it in the Pew Bible, you want to shout that number out. Page 738 in the Pew Bible. Amen. It's page 738. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, beginning at verse 24. It says, and from thence he arose and went into to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Some would say Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. I want to use for a subject just for a little while this morning, saints. Lessons from a Syrophoenician mother. Lessons from a Syrophoenician mother. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal and all wise and gracious and loving and caring Father, who art in heaven, O God, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done, Father, here on earth just as it is in heaven. Forgive us our sins, Lord God. Cleanse us now from all unrighteousness. Cause your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to our minds. Prepare us and prep us, Lord, that you may do surgery in our hearts. Bless every mother that's in this room this morning, Lord God. Thank you for all of our mothers, O Heavenly Father. For Lord, it is the mothers that you've chosen to be a vehicle for all of us to come into this world. And God, we stand here today in honoring them and appreciating the way that you use them in a marvelous way. And then, Lord God, I just ask that you would use me in a marvelous way to speak clearly and lovingly and kind to our mothers today. God, I give you all the glory in advance, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Let all of the saints of God say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lessons from a Syrophoenician mother. Certainly, there are many mothers in Scripture that I could have preached and expound on this morning. I thought about preaching about Moses' mother and how faithful and committed she was in trusting God to place Moses in the Nile River, and how God did some wonderful things in her life. Certainly, I could have used Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I could have used Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. But I think that those are women that we all have come to respect because they were women who were in the faith when they had their children and brought them into the world. And I think that today society has a tendency to really respect women who raise children in the church and who give birth to them as a mother, as a woman of God. And we have a tendency to look up them. But what about mothers who have made mistakes in the past? And what about mothers who have had children who were not necessarily in God's house always doing the right thing? And I'm convinced that God wants us to understand today that he loves every mother and that he wants to use every mother to be an example of faith and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, God has led me to this passage here today. And as a matter of fact, I'm convinced that one of the things that God wants us to understand is that being a mother is all about having a heart for God. Can I get a witness here? It's all about having a heart for God. For we find in chapter 7 that Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisees and with the scribes. And the conversation is with them about their traditions. They want to do things according to tradition and not the way that God wants to do it. And as he's talking to them, they refuse to turn from their tradition. And Jesus basically tells them that they have a heart condition. And so that's how we get to this passage here, beginning in verse 24, is because he has already talked with them about cleanliness from outside and from inside. And he says to them, you all have traditions about what's done outside the body as far as drinking out of cups that might be contaminated and not washing hands and things like that. But he basically says the issue and the problem is the heart. And so what Jesus does is he leaves that area where the Pharisees and the scribes are. And the Bible picks up in verse 24 where it says, and from thence he arose and he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into a house and would have no man to know it. So Jesus has gone to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And if you know anything about that area, you know that it was a pagan Gentile area, which means that the children of God, the Jews, God's chosen people, would have despised them. They would not have cared for them. As a matter of fact, they did not travel to that area. And so one of the reasons why Jesus goes to that area is because he wants to get away from the self-righteous and hypocritical folks. So he goes to this area of Tyre and Sidon, and the Bible says he doesn't want anybody to know about it. But how many of you know today, especially mothers, that Jesus is so popular, he's so well known that you can't hide him? Amen. I thought you'd be more excited about that today on Mother's Day. But you can't hide the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go, somebody talks about Jesus. Whether it's on your job, in the grocery store, in the communities, at home, somebody's talking about Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you pay close attention to our television shows that are on today, you'll see that there's a lot within the shows that's revealing the end times. And so Jesus certainly cannot be hidden, but he goes there and the Bible says he could not be hid. And the reason why he could not be hid is because he's already done so many amazing, wonderful things in society down here in Palestine that everybody knows about him. And wherever he goes, his reputation precedes him. And so before he even gets to where he's going, everybody there knows who he is and what he's capable of doing. And so we find here, as we look at verse 25, the Bible says in verse 25, a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit. Now, I want to stick a pin there and I want to say this. The first thing I want you to see, mothers, is that every mother has issues. I said every mother has issues. And so one of the lessons that we can learn from this Syrophoenician mother is that she has issues. And one might say, well, she doesn't have issues. Her daughter does. Well, if you are a mother who's loving and caring and concerned, if your children have issues, then you have issues. Can I get a witness here? And so therefore, whatever your children go through, you go through it with them. And so here is a woman who has not yet received a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to see later on in the text that she's only heard about him. She doesn't know him personally for herself. But one thing that she does know is that she loves her daughter and she is concerned about her daughter. And she's willing to do whatever's necessary to make sure that her daughter's needs are met. And so the scripture says in verse 25, a certain woman, we do not know her name. And the thing that I love about God's word is that he'll put the word certain in there, and one might try to scratch their head and figure out, who is this woman? I'd like to know. I'd like to meet her. And God said, it's not about the woman, but it's about the situation. Good God Almighty. And so therefore, any one of you ladies here today who are mothers could stick your name in this blank as far as a certain woman. And you could say, that's me. And she has a daughter who has an unclean spirit. And so you got to know that she's a mother who has issues. And I want you to understand that every mother has issues, and you don't have to be down on yourself because everything is not what everybody thinks it ought to be in your life. Mothers are disappointed when children go through things, and sometimes mothers scratch their heads and wonder, what is it that I did wrong? But I want you to know that we live in an imperfect world. And because we live in an imperfect world, children are going to make mistakes. And so you don't have to beat yourself up about mistakes that children make. You just simply need to be there for them, to encourage them, and to pray for them, and know that God is able to do all things but fail. He's able to do it. He's able to do it. And so she has a younger daughter with a devil. That's one issue that she has. But the next issue is in verse 26, the first part. Verse 26, the first part, it says the woman was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician by nation. In other words, she is a woman who is a Gentile. She's a Greek. She does not have a relationship with God. And any mother who doesn't have a relationship, a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, has an issue. And so the Bible says that she is a Syrophoenician by nation, which means she was born in that area, which means she has taken on the lifestyle of that culture, which says to me that whenever you take on the lifestyle of a culture that wants nothing to do with God, it's going to produce issues in your life. It'll produce issues in your life. And so this mother has issues. And every mother in this world, in this life, if you haven't had, you're going to have some issues. Her little daughter was demon possessed. She had evil spirits. And I want you to know that she's just a little young girl. And that says to me, moms, that evil spirits are no respecter of persons. No respecter of age. Children at an early age can be problematic and cause issues in life. Never think more highly of your children than you ought to. Because all children are capable of making mistakes. Never treasure children to the point to where we start to worship and idolize them. But remember, children have been given to us as a blessing from God with a responsibility to train them up and raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. And so she has some issues, and we need to understand that we can well imagine the heartache of this mother when she was faced with the totally irresponsible behavior of this little girl. I don't know how old she was, but I know she was very young in age, and evidently she must have been irresponsible, always getting into things, perhaps things that would have cost her life if her mother had not been there for her every hour, every second of the day. And so as a mother, you may have found yourself in your lifetime being there for your children and working two jobs and doing a lot of things and not being able to do some things that you enjoyed. But guess what? I want you to know that God is pleased with that. He is pleased. He told me to tell you that today he is pleased with the sacrifices that you have made. He's pleased with the sacrifices that you have made to spend quality time with your children and to care for them and to do everything you can to provide for them. And so, first of all, we need to understand, mothers, that we have issues. Because this Syrophoenician mother, she had issues. She had a daughter with a demonic spirit, and she was grown up in an area that was not popular, that did not worship and did not serve God. And so she was not a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second thing I want you to see is in the second part of verse 25. The Bible says that she heard of him and came and fell at Jesus' feet. And the second part of verse 26 says, she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now, the second thing I want you to see is this, is that she took her problems to Jesus. The first thing is she had issues. She acknowledged the fact that she had issues. She knew that she had issues. She knew that the majority of her issues were coming through her daughter, but that was a result of the fact that she was not a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, she says, I'm going to take my issues and my problems to Jesus. I think that's something for all mothers to get today and to understand is that, first of all, you have issues. And when you have issues, take them to the Lord. Take them to the Lord and leave them there. Let's take a closer look at this thing. The Bible says that she came and fell at his feet. Now, the word came is in the middle voice and it's in the present tense in the Greek, which means that she came on her own. Nobody forced her to go see Jesus. She was not made to go see Jesus. She was not held at gunpoint, but she went on her own. She made up in her mind, I'm going to see Jesus for myself, and I'm going to have a personal talk with him. And it's in the state of persistence, which means she made up her mind in such a way that nothing or anyone was going to get in the way of her taking her issues to the Lord. We should never let anything or anyone get in the way of us taking our issues to the Lord. Because we know that he's the only one who can really resolve them. She realized that the issues that she had were from within. Her daughter had a demon. She was possessed. It was internal problems. And moms, we have to stop blaming everybody else in the world for issues that we have. Because sometimes the issues are within. Now, the external circumstances in the world does cause issues for us. But sometimes there are issues within us that need to be resolved. And if we are honest with ourselves, we'll go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, these are what the issues are. And notice this. When she went to him, she knew exactly what the issue was. She did not hesitate to be honest and open with him about what the real problem was. She did not say, listen to me, she did not say, there are children in the community that are causing my daughter to make bad decisions. That's not what she said. She said, I've got a daughter who is demon possessed. And she said, I need you to cast forth the devil out of my daughter. But here's something else I want you to understand as she goes to Jesus with her problems. The Bible says that she came and she fell, which means to fall towards, but in a gentle state, which means she came to him and she very gently got down on her hands and knees and began to beg him to do for her what she knew she couldn't do for herself. She began to beg him to do that. The Bible says that she besought him, which means that she interrogated Jesus. What do you mean to interrogate Jesus? What it means is that she asked him over and over and over again. And I believe she said to Jesus, I heard about the feeding of the 5,000. I heard about you raising Jairus' daughter. I heard about the woman with the issue of blood and you healed her. I heard about the Gadarene man who had an unclean spirit and you healed him and sent him home to his family. I heard about you walking on water. She interrogated him because she knew enough about him to know that he could do it. And she wasn't going to be satisfied until it was done. And listen to me, mothers, today you've got to realize and understand that whatever happens in your life with your children, with your family, within yourself, that the Lord can fix it. And don't let anybody tell you anything otherwise. You've got to know that he does have the power to fix it. And listen to me carefully. She still does not yet have a relationship with him. This is based upon information that someone has told her. Now, if this mother who does not have a relationship with Jesus, but yet she can go to him with such amazing confidence, then what's wrong with mothers today who do have a relationship with him? Why can't we take everything to him and trust him to resolve it? And so God uses this woman as an amazing example. And as a matter of fact, this woman has more trust in Jesus right now, more understanding about what he can do than his disciples do. And I'm telling you, and so when you look back at chapter 7 in the earlier verses, you realize that his disciples did not understand everything. Look in verse 17 of chapter 7. It says, "And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciple asked him concerning the parable." And look at what he says to them in verse 18. He said unto them, he said, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you also not understand?" He said, "Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man cannot defile him?" He's teaching them about a heart condition. And this woman here is being used. One thing I love about the Lord Jesus Christ is he'll teach something and then something will come up and will illustrate what he taught. And so today's lesson is an illustration about a heart condition. And he says also to us, mothers that listen, he says, you can desire to do the right things, but your heart still not be right. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I said, you can desire to do the right thing, but your heart still not be right, because in order for your heart to be right, that means you got to learn to do things consistently. You see, you just can't be patient with children every now and then. You got to be patient with them every single day. You can't be fair with them every now and then. You got to learn to be fair with them on a daily basis. You can't just spend time with them once a week or once or twice a month, but you got to learn to spend time with them consistently. They need to know that you are going to be there for them no matter what happens in their life. As a matter of fact, moms have been chosen as vehicles to transport children from the cradle to the grave. Yes. And to instill in them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And it is during those months of carrying your child when you began to build that relationship with them. And God teaches none other than the relationship with mankind and himself than he does with mankind and with a mother. I was sitting in the barbershop yesterday and getting my hair cut, and I heard some grown men in their 40s and 50s were talking about their mothers, and they were saying that they didn't have a good relationship with their fathers, but they said, "My mother, don't mess with her. There's something about mom." They didn't understand. They did not understand why they loved their mother so much, but what they did know was that they love her. They knew that they love her. And if we really want to get technical, you think about the umbilical cord and the fact that the child is connected to you and how you transport the child around for 9 months, and the child breathes what you breathe and the child eats what you eat. That's a connection that fathers cannot have with children. And so mothers, you are blessed and you are highly favored. And God will always make sure you have everything you need to be there for your children. He will always make sure you have it. And so she began to interrogate Jesus, because I want you to understand that she gets on her hands and knees and she's begging him, which says to us that she is a woman who is in a desperate condition, a desperate position, because she realized that I can never be happy, I can never have joy until my daughter is blessed, until she is where she needs to be. And I got to tell you, when we have mothers in society that cannot be happy unless they know that their children are happy also, then we got something going on. We need to pray when we see selfish mothers who only think about career and whatever is good for them. This is, listen, saints. God is serious about this thing called motherhood. And if you're sitting here today and you know that you have been the best mother you can be, then to God be the glory. But I just want to take a moment out and to say that we've got some mothers in this world that we see, and maybe they're not saved, or maybe they are. But you know what? They're not putting children first. They're not putting child rearing first. They're not putting God first. And children grow up being resentful and angry and bitter because they did not get what they deserved. And what they deserve is to have a mother who's there to love them and care for them. And so, look with me in verse 27. Verse 27 shows us something. Verse 27 says, well, back in verse 26, let me say one more thing about this mother who brings her issues to Jesus. She understands how difficult the issue is. Why do you say that? Because look at the end of verse 26. She besought him that he would what? Cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She didn't say, there's a devil in my daughter. Can you take him out? She said, cast him out. In other words, she realized that Jesus, this is going to be difficult, which says to me, she'd probably been to everybody else in the land to get help for her daughter, and everybody else had failed. And she realized that this is going to be difficult because nothing that I've been able to do has helped her. So she said, I'm going to need you to cast him out. And the Bible says she heard about him. She heard about the fact that he was in the area. Now look in verse 27. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled. For it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. I want you to picture yourself going to Jesus. You don't know him, but you know about him. And you know that he has the power to do everything. He has power over demons and unclean spirits. And you are desperate. You're hurting, you're grieving on the inside. Your child is back home. She probably done tore the house up by now. And you're pleading with him, you're asking him, begging him as nice as you can. And his response is, the children must be filled first. In other words, he says, you're not my child. And then he says to her, he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, what belongs to my children, and cast it to dogs such as yourself. You would think that at that point she would have been so angry and so bitter and so frustrated with him that she would have told him, well, let me tell you something, sir. I don't need you to cast a demon out of my daughter. I'll find some other way to help her. But she didn't do that because she realized I've got to stay focused. I've got to stay focused. And she realized that this is just a test. And I want to tell you, moms, don't miss it, that there are times in your life when you may go to God and you may be praying for your children and it seems like you can't get a breakthrough. I want you to know it's just a test, because God wants to see if you can stay focused long enough to realize that if your faith and trust in him is really true or not. And when he calls, he says, unto the dogs. In other words, here's what he's saying. Let me explain it to you. He says, ma'am, he says, there's something I need you to understand. He says, you see, my ministry is first to the children of Israel, to the Jews. They're God's chosen. They're my father's chosen people. He chose them way back in Genesis. And I want you to understand that there's an order of priority here that I have to follow, because I've got to fulfill some things. I need to come first to the children of Israel, and I've got to share the gospel with them and give them an opportunity to receive me. And if they don't receive me, then next I'm coming to you. So you're going to have to wait until I get to you. But here's what she says. She says in verse 28, good God Almighty. She says in verse 28, she says, I want you to understand something, my Lord. She said, the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. In other words, what she says is, I know for a fact that what you're considering me is as a puppy in your house. good God Almighty. You consider me as a little house pet under the table where your children are eating. And I want you to know that when your children don't eat all their food, that crumbs fall onto the table and the dogs are permitted to eat at the same time that the children are eating at the table. And so she says, even though you got to go first to the Jews, all I want is some crumbs until my time comes. Good God Almighty. This is a woman who realizes and understands the order of importance. And she says, I'm going to stay focused. But right now, she is learning to be a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can't worship as a mother until you understand the word of God. Can I get a witness here? But I want you to know, if you show up in God's house, and if you be willing to humble yourself to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will teach you some things about the word of God, and you will leave out a better mother than when you came into the house of God. Can I get a witness here? We live in a society that frustrates us and that discourages us. And if we're not careful, you'll lose focus as a mom. If you're not careful, you will lose focus as a mother. And God says, don't lose focus as a mother, because if you lose focus as a mother, you'll lose your child. Kimmy and Lois and Eunice, the mother and grandmother of Timothy. He had a Greek father who was unsaved, who was not in his life. But Paul told Timothy, I just want to remind you, Timothy, that you learned some things from your mother and your grandmother. He says it was first in your grandmother. In other words, he says, y'all got a nice heritage passing down thing going on here. He says your grandmother had it and she passed it to your mother. Your mother had it and she passed it to you. Kind of like being on a track team, running that 4x400, 4x100 relay. And you run 100 yards and then you pass the baton to your teammate and then they pass it on. You see, that's the way it's got to be with heritage mothers. You see, you got to run your race and then when you have a child, you got to pass it on to your child. You got to pass that faith and pass that confidence in God and pass that worshiping ability on to God to your child. And then guess what? They'll run their race and then when they have children, they'll pass that same baton on to their children. That's the way it works. So number three is, moms, you just got to pass the test. You got to stay focused on what's needed. Stay focused on what's needed is number three. Stay focused on what's needed. Number four, in verse 28, you must become a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to learn to worship him. And here's how you worship him. You worship him, first of all, by having a relationship with him. But then secondly, you've got to pause and you've got to block out all of the stuff that goes on around you at work and at home and in the communities. And you've got to focus on who he is and just how good he has been to you. And then you find yourself in worship mode. And when you get locked into worship mode, tears begin to come down your eyes and ain't nobody bothering you. I wish I had a witness here. You'll find yourself, you'll take off running in God's house and ain't nobody chasing you, because when you're in worship mode, you find yourself being in the presence of God, spending one-on-one time with him, and it ain't nobody but you and the Lord. And at that moment, you feel so good. It's like can't nothing touch you, can't nobody hurt you, nothing's bothering you, and you are on top of a mountain and you feel like Peter, Lord, it's good to be here. That's where we got to get to that point. Got to get to that point. She says, yes, Lord. Surely, Lord. I understand what you're saying. When she calls him Lord, she says, surely, Master. In other words, she says, you got supremacy. Surely, God. She claimed domestication in the household of faith. That's an amazing act of trust. Number 29 and 30. I'll tell you two more things and I'll be finished. Verse 29. It says, and she said, and he said unto her, for this saying, Lord, have mercy, for this revelation that you have received from God and have accepted and trusted and believed in. He said, go your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. The Bible says in verse 30, when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. The fifth thing I want you to see is that She was delivered from her issues. I'm telling you, saints, if you acknowledge the fact that you got issues, if you take your problems to the Lord and leave them there, if you pass the test, if you focus on what the real need is, and if you become a worshiper of the Lord, no matter what comes up in your life, he'll deliver you from it. Because when she got home, her daughter was laid up on the bed. And I want you to understand, the word laid, don't let it deceive you. The word laid is not lying in a nice, comfortable position taking a nap. The word laid here means to be thrown or to be flung on the bed. But guess what? When the demonic spirit came out of her, because she asked Jesus to cast him out, she knew it was going to be difficult. And when he cast the demon out, he slung her up on the bed. He flung her on the bed, and he threw her up on the bed, and he left her in a state where she was calm and relaxed. But he threw her down. And I want you to understand something. The last point is this. You must know that God's word is enough. If God said it, that's it. Because whenever we come to God's house and we hear a wonderful message and we're on top of the mountain, and then we go out and then somebody says something negative and discourages or tries to contradict what God has told us, and we find ourselves doubting what God has said. But I want you to know that one might say, well, how do you know that? Where is that? Because it's between verse 29 and 30. Do you see it in between those two verses? It takes faith to see it. The reason why I said it's in between verse 29 and 30 is because it does not say when she left, but it does say that when she came home. And so when Jesus said, for this saying, the devil is gone out of your daughter, she took off running. Because when he said it's done, and I want you to see, when Jesus does it, sometimes he does it so quick, fast, and in a hurry, you miss it. He does it so quick, fast, and in a hurry, you get your blessing, your breakthrough, and you don't even realize that you done broke through. It's between verse 29 and 30. His word was enough. And mothers, in every situation that comes up in your life, if you search God's word, you'll find that his word is enough. If his word says it, believe it. He said, you train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yours will too. Don't provoke them to wrath. Be patient with them and understand them. And they'll be wonderful spirited children. They may not understand everything when you're raising them up, when you tell them sometimes no. They won't understand why. And sometimes you won't even understand why. Those of you who have already raised your children, sometimes you didn't understand why you had to say no to them. But there was something on the inside of you that knew you could not let them go to that place they wanted to go to. You could not let them hang out with those friends they wanted to hang out with. You didn't understand why you said no, but something inside of you told you to say no. And then you found out later on that those other kids got into some trouble. And then you realized it was the Spirit of God. Amen. Telling you to say no. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Gracious Father, our God who art in heaven, we pause to say thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And we pause, Father God, for special prayer for the mothers, asking, Lord God, that you would reveal their issues to them, Lord, that they will know exactly what they're dealing with. And then we pray, Father God, that they would bring those issues to you in prayer, Father God, and in confidence and in trust. And then we pray, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, that they will pass the test, that they will stay focused on what the real need is and not be distracted by negative comments, negative actions. And we pray, Father God, that you will help them to be worshipers of you, Lord. Show them how to lock in to focus on your goodness and your mercy. We pray, Father God, that you would deliver them from whatever it is that they're dealing with, even right today, right this very moment, God. Reach deep down inside of the mothers, Lord, and touch them with your finger of love and comfort and encourage them. Empower them to walk by faith and not by sight. And then, Lord God, remind them that your word is always enough. Forgive us all, Lord. Keep them safe. Bless all of the children. Help them to always respect and love their mothers, to always appreciate their mother. And God, we give you glory now. We thank you in Jesus' name.